Hi, I'm Hillary Walsh, a serial entrepreneur, award-winning immigration lawyer, law professor, TEDx speaker, and raving Phoenix Suns fan. Over the past decade, I've helped thousands of immigrants live free in the United States. I'm talking work permits, social security numbers, green cards, their citizenship, VAWA, T visa, U visa, and lots of successful appeals. Here's the thing. Immigration law is super complicated, and legal advice, well, it can be pretty expensive. So I created the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast to share my 10 plus years of experience with you for free. So if you're looking for tried and true, no BS, step-by-step strategies and tips on how to win your immigration case and live truly free in the United States, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started.
Hola a todos, buenas tardes. Gracias por tu tiempo y tu fe y confidencia en mi equipo. Hoy es un día más importante porque hablamos acerca de un plan de emergencia familiar. Entonces, we're going to move pretty quickly, and Sarah, you can help translate. We're going to move pretty quickly through these things. But if you have questions, I think there's a button called Q&A, and you can ask your questions there. And we're going to work to where we can talk to you live as well.
Así es. Todos bienvenidos. Gracias por hacer tiempo para trabajar en este plan familiar de emergencias. El día de hoy vamos a tratar de revisar lo más posible. Pueden hacer preguntas en la parte de arriba. Tenemos un botón que es Q y A, y ahí pueden poner sus preguntas. Vamos a tratar de cubrir tanto como podamos de este plan de emergencias. Obviamente esperamos que nunca lo tengan que utilizar, pero si es necesario, pues eso es lo que vamos a estar compartiendo el día de hoy.
Okay. So are you able to see my screen, everybody? I think so. So, hola Eduardo, ¿cómo estás? I see lots of people in their cars, so let's do this, okay? Okay. The first question, la primera pregunta is, ¿por qué tener un plan? Why have a plan? So we want to have a plan. I'm going to do this in English and a little bit of Spanish. Sarah, thank you so much for providing both. But we want to have a plan because it's important. There's a saying that if you basically have a plan, you won't need it. And so in some cases, like, let's just plan that we never need this and we can go from there. Okay. But it's good to have a plan.
Exacto. La respuesta a la pregunta de por qué tener un plan, pues en general dicen por ahí que es mejor tenerlo y no necesitarlo que necesitarlo y no tenerlo. Entonces es importante estar preparados. Entonces, bueno, es lo que vamos a ver hoy.
Sí, okay. So, when we tener un plan, no solo da tranquilidad, sino que puedo hacer un gran diferencia en mantener a tu familia unida durante momentos dificultades. So, opciones para alegrar. So, these are your immigration options. So, we're going to first talk about potential pathways forward, different steps to explore, and resources for assistance so that if something goes wrong, you have options and you have a way to get help.
Sí, sí, nos está la primera parada de este plan es saber qué opciones de migración tienen. Obviamente queremos ponerlos en un camino a la protección y pues obviamente queremos explorar si tienen familiares, residentes o ciudadanos, si tienen alguna opción visa U, visa T, y eso es el primer y más importante paso.
Okay, so one of the most important things for you to know as you go into this next season is to know your rights. So your rights do not change no matter who the president is. These are rights that are based on the Constitution, and they are your rights regardless of whether you have a case pending, no case pending, anything. These are your rights, just like you and I have the same rights to breathe air. These are your rights and they cannot be taken away. And so I want to go over what your rights are.
Así es, y es muy importante recordar que no importa quién sea el presidente, no importa si es republicano o demócrata, tú como inmigrante tienes derechos. Tampoco importa si estás con visa, si estás en un proceso, si no tienes ningún documento, tú tienes derechos que deben de ser respetados, que están en la Constitución, y de nuevo, no importa tu estatus, y hoy queremos compartir un poco de esos derechos que es importante que conozcas. Y si tú quieres una copia de esta tarjeta roja que estás viendo en la pantalla, las vamos a tener impresas y listas para ti en nuestra oficina la próxima vez que tú estés ahí.
Okay, so first things first, do not open. You have the right. These are your rights. Now, if you choose to act differently, that is also up to you. But you have the right, for example, not to open the door if immigration comes to the door. If you hear the knock at the door and you look through the peephole and you see that it's an immigration officer, you are not required to open the door.
Exacto. Y el primero es, tú tienes derecho a no abrir la puerta. Si tú estás en casa y oyes que tocan la puerta y te das cuenta que es un oficial de migración, ICE, tú tienes el derecho a no abrir la puerta.
Okay, you have the right to remain silent. You hear about this and it's kind of famous from the movies, but you have that right no matter what. So if an immigration officer or someone else is asking you information, you have a right to remain silent. You are required only to tell people your name. That is it.
Así es, y este punto que sigue lo hemos escuchado, se ha hecho famoso un poco en las películas, el derecho a permanecer en silencio. Tú tienes este derecho a no responder preguntas, a no dar información, y es muy importante que sepas que tienes este derecho independientemente de tu estatus. Tienes derecho a guardar silencio.
Yes, you also have the right. You do not have to sign anything. So if a deportation officer is asking you to sign something, if a judge is asking you to sign something, you have the right to say, I don't want to sign this without talking to a lawyer.
Exacto. El tercero, muy importante, tú tienes el derecho a no firmar nada. Si tú, agente de deportación, si una persona de migración te está presionando a firmar algo, tú tienes el derecho a no querer firmar, a no firmar nada. Y esto es muy, muy importante cuando se trata de migración.
Okay, so gracias, gracias a todos. So you also have the right to stay inside your home. If you're outside your home, you have the right to ask if you're free to leave. And here's how this comes up in different situations. You have someone who I actually just saw this where a guy talked about this on TikTok. He is from the Middle East and he was racially profiled from a Greyhound bus, and he's a comedian and really told a very funny story about this, but it was obviously not funny. But basically, he was pulled off of a Greyhound bus, and ICE officers were trying to figure out if his papers were real or not. He eventually asked, "Are you detaining me, or do I have a right to leave?" And you always have that right. So, unless you're under arrest, this is with police, with ICE officers, this is my right, this is Sarah's right, this is any person's right. Unless you're under arrest, you cannot be held. So you can ask, and always ask very politely, am I under arrest or am I free to leave? Because unless they have the ability to arrest you, you can leave and you can walk away peacefully or drive away or whatever it might be.
Así es, y bueno, también tenemos el derecho a no salir o en el caso de que tú estés afuera, a poder irte. Recientemente una persona en TikTok, una persona del medio hablaba sobre que fue detenido, le estaban preguntando si sus papeles eran reales y después de un rato de discutir, él preguntó si estaba libre para irse y lo dejaron ir y ese es un derecho que todas las personas tienen. Si tú no estás detenido, si no tienen una orden de detención, muy amablemente puedes preguntar, ¿estoy bajo arresto o puedo irme? Y es tu derecho irte de esa situación o manejar fuera de esa situación.
Yeah, I think this is so important for people to know as well that you can say, I do not give you permission to enter my home. Like if someone wants to come into your home, they have to have a warrant to enter your home. So no one is allowed to enter your home. So let's say that you're a US citizen and you're married to someone who's undocumented, and ICE comes and knocks on the door and wants to arrest your husband. You do not have to let ICE come into your home and search your home and find your husband. You have the right to say, I am not allowing you in my home. You need to go get yourself a warrant, basically. And that's what they would have to do. And this is the very big difference between when police come and knock at your door. Usually it's because the police already have a warrant. They're not going to come to your door unless they've already got a warrant. ICE officers, by contrast, are not law enforcement. They are not here to enforce the law. They're here to enforce immigration policy, immigration law, which is very different than criminal law. And so much more difficult for them to get a warrant. And so when you know your rights, they are not the police, ICE is not the police, and the police are not ICE. They have to have a warrant to enter your home, and you have a right to say you're not allowed to enter my home to ICE officers.
De manera similar, tú tienes el derecho de no permitirles entrar a tu hogar. Si tú eres una ciudadana o ciudadano y tu esposo o tu esposa son no tienen papeles y ellos, inmigración viene a tocar a la puerta y quiere entrar a detenerlo, ellos necesitan tu permiso y tú puedes audiblemente decir, no te doy permiso para que entres a mi hogar y necesitas una warrant o un documento que diga que tú puedes entrar a mi hogar y esto es aplica para ICE y es un poco diferente a la policía. La policía, su tarea es hacer que las leyes se cumplan, es cuidar de los criminales y si ellos vienen a la puerta, normalmente ellos ya tienen este documento, pero ni ICE es la policía ni la policía es ICE y siempre puedes negarte a que ellos entren a tu hogar diciendo que es tu derecho prohibirles la entrada, obviamente siempre muy educadamente. Y es aquí cuando el conocer tus derechos te va a hacer muy fuerte, te va a ayudar a proteger a tu familia y es por eso que estamos haciendo este taller virtual.
Okay, and I see that. I hope that someone will let Jose in, but Gloria has a question. She says, if I put up this resistance, is it going to bring me more problems? It should not bring you more problems. These are all of your rights and any more. From law enforcement wear a lot of body cams nowadays, which actually helps protect not only the police officer from being wrongly accused of wrongdoing, but also protects you as a civilian here in the United States from having police brutality or being attacked or the police being improper. So it's good accountability for both parties. ICE officers do not wear body cams. And so ICE officers are never allowed to pin someone down and arrest them and chase them and things like that, unless they are absolutely confident that they have essentially a warrant out for you, and or you've already been ordered removed. If you're out walking around, then you're not going to be able to say things like, you would say, am I under arrest? And they're going to say yes, and then they can arrest you. But if you're not under arrest, you should be able to peacefully leave, and you should not face any more problems.
Así es, y Gloria nos pregunta si poner resistencia podría traer más problemas. Y la realidad es que no, obviamente siempre debemos proceder con mucha educación. Sin embargo, ICE tiene que respetar estos derechos porque son tus derechos independientemente de tu estatus. Y a diferencia de la policía, ICE no puede perseguirte, ponerte en el piso, detenerte. Ahora muchos de ellos, mucha policía utiliza las body cams o las cámaras en el cuerpo, en donde es posible grabar lo que está sucediendo para evitar que la gente pueda abusar, la policía pueda abusar. ICE no utiliza cámaras, pero por eso mismo no debería perseguirte, no debería involucrarse en algo. Tú siempre de nuevo puedes pedir que te enseñen tu orden de arresto si es que la tienen. En ese caso, pues sí estarías detenido, pero si no, de nuevo puedes preguntar, ¿estoy bajo arresto o tengo la libertad de irme e irte muy en paz?
Okay. And so what we're going to talk about now is if for some reason you are detained, you or your spouse right now. The reality is that Trump has promised a lot of work raids. So on big companies where ICE knows that there are a lot of undocumented workers, ICE is planning to start doing raids where they just essentially go in while people are at work and surprise them and then apprehend them. What I want to help you with now is creating a plan. So now you know your rights, you know what you can say, particularly if you're at home or if you're driving. But what happens if you're away and you're apprehended and you're arrested? What happens to your kids? What happens to your truck, your house, your possessions, and perhaps your spouse is still here? A power of attorney can help you with that, and that's what we're going to talk about next.
Así es, y obviamente este taller es para saber qué hacer en un caso en el que tú fueras detenido. Ya pasamos por la parte de los derechos y ahora vamos a pasar a qué pasaría. Obviamente el presidente Trump ha prometido que va a hacer más redadas en los trabajos, quiere sorprender a las personas, quiere arrestarlas, y lo que vamos a hablar ahorita es qué es un poder legal y cómo funciona, qué pasaría con tus hijos, tu camioneta, tu casa, todas las cosas que se tienen que resolver si obviamente no lo deseamos, pero tú fueras aprehendido mientras estás lejos, mientras estás trabajando en otro estado, y es lo que vamos a ver a continuación.
Okay, so a power of attorney is something that essentially gives, and it's not just for attorneys, it gives someone the power to essentially the authority, the ability to act on your behalf for very discreet, very specific things.
Y este poder legal que vamos a revisar no es simplemente para abogados, es simplemente un documento que le da el poder a alguien para tomar decisiones sobre tus hijos, tus cosas, sobre cómo proceder para protegerlos mientras o si tú llegaras a ser detenido.
Something that's helpful, and you can find these online, and we're happy to provide you with samples so that you can choose to fill them out for yourself, and we can give you some input on that. One of the examples that we have here for you, and you see that it's a basic form, and then you have it notarized. And we have, for our New Frontier clients, we have a notary on staff. We can help you with these things. We just need to make an appointment for you so you can come in and have it notarized. But you can also get things notarized at any bank as well, including probably your own bank. And it'll be like maybe $15 or something like that. It's usually a very nominal fee in the grand scheme of things. But this one has an example of if I'm deported, how am I going to get all my money out of my bank account? And let's say you don't have a way to transfer the funds from one place to another, or maybe you don't want to transfer the funds. Maybe you want to give them to your spouse or someone who's taking care of your kids. You don't want the money to you in Mexico. Instead, you want the money to go to your family member so they can be able to withdraw money. You would create a power of attorney for this very specific reason. You can't create a power of attorney for everything. You have to have a very, very specific reason.
Así es, y obviamente hay muchos tipos de poderes legales, los puedes encontrar en internet. Aquí para los clientes Nueva Frontera podemos darte uno y podemos ayudarte a ponerlo con un notario. Tenemos un notario en el equipo Nueva Frontera, o puedes ir al banco y pagar una pequeña fee de $15 para hacerlo. Y básicamente lo que esto dice es qué decisiones puede tomar una persona respecto a tus cosas. Entonces, por ejemplo, si tú llegaras a ser detenido y deportado, un poder legal le daría la facultad a tu familiar o a tu amigo o a tu esposo de quizá recuperar el dinero que tienes en el banco, que no quieres que sea enviado a México, sino que sea usado para los gastos corrientes de tus hijos. Ese es el tipo de decisiones que puede tomar alguien con este poder legal en el que podemos ayudarte a generar. Obviamente no es un poder legal para cada cosa, es un poder legal que incluye finanzas, hijos, propiedades, etcétera, pero más o menos se ve así.
So, a power of attorney, when my husband would deploy, like he was in the Air Force for 20 years and he deployed a lot of times. And I needed things like a power of attorney to, you get very specific things when I needed to renew my kids' passports. because the United States and really any country doesn't want you as one parent to be able to get passports for your kids. They want to make sure that both parents know that you're trying to travel internationally with a minor. They require you to get the person's signature. So a power of attorney can help you with something like that. Similarly, if you and your spouse are both undocumented, what is very helpful to have is a power of attorney for your kids for a temporary caretaker. So basically, it means that, like, let's say you don't. You know, as I don't have any family who lives here in Arizona, for example. If something happened to both me and my husband, we have a will where if we're both dead or incapacitated or God awful, something else happens, our kids will automatically go to my aunt who lives in California. We already have a plan for this. But that's because we don't have this other issue of what happens if we're both deported. For clients who face deportation, you're not deceased. So a will is not going to help you. A power of attorney can help you in this type of situation where you give power of attorney to help with taking care of your kids temporarily while things are sorted out. And this is something that we would be happy to keep on file if you're a New Frontier client, so that if something happens, we have this already signed and it's in your file so that if something happens, God forbid, we have a plan for you. So I really encourage you to think through what are the steps we need to take in order to be totally safe. If me and my husband are both, or me and my partner are both picked up, what's going to happen to our kids, to our pets, to our house, like anything that you're responsible for that is living? What's going to happen to those creatures, to those humans or whatever, your cat, your dog, so that we make sure that those individuals are taken care of.
Exacto, y un poder legal, por ejemplo, la abogada, su esposo estaba en la militar y a veces tenía que irse por algún tiempo. Ella tenía un poder legal en el que con ese poder podía obtener los pasaportes de los hijos que tienen en común. Esto obviamente es por si algo llegara a suceder. Entonces, un poder legal te puede ayudar a hacer acciones como esa o tomar decisiones como esa, porque obviamente los dos padres tienen que saber dónde están los hijos. En su caso específico, en el que si algo les llegara a suceder a los dos y pues obviamente ellos ya no estuvieran aquí, ellos no tienen otra familia en Arizona, así que han designado a su tía en California como en un testamento. Sin embargo, eso es en caso de defunción. En el caso de que los padres estén en peligro de deportación, ellos no van a fallecer y un testamento no es efectivo. Lo que necesitamos es este poder legal donde se diga qué pasará con tus hijos, con tus mascotas, con tu camioneta, con tu casa y poder contactar a las personas correctas. A los clientes Nueva Frontera nos encantaría guardar una copia de su power of attorney, de su poder legal, para saber cómo proceder si llegaran a encontrarse en la situación de una deportación. Obviamente esperamos que no, pero es bueno tener este documento.
Okay, perfect. So now we're going to transition and talk more about what documents you want to have just in general. So if you've come to our new client orientation, if you've come to basically any of those classes that we have as new clients, you're already going to have a folder that has everything organized. And we are going to have organized your documents by birth certificates, by marriage certificates, and those sorts of things. We help organize those for you already. And if you haven't been to one of those, perhaps because of you're a client who has been with us for a while and we weren't doing those classes then, or maybe you're not a client yet, you need to become a client. But here's kind of what we want to show you in terms of what documents you want to have organized. And I do not want them under the mattress. I want them in an organized place where you can get to them very easily. And I know that's kind of funny, but like I'm for real. I don't want them in a plastic bag. I want them where they're organized. You've already taken a picture of them with your phone, and someone knows where these documents are because they are so important if you are detained.
Así es, y lo siguiente que vamos a compartir es sobre los documentos importantes que hay que tener ordenados si ustedes son clientes nuevos o se acaban de sumar a la firma, van a recibir un pequeño folder en su orientación en la que esos documentos van a estar ya ordenados. Estamos hablando de pasaporte, certificados de nacimiento, y es importante que esos documentos se queden así, no los queremos debajo del colchón, porque son documentos que serán importantes si tú eres detenido y necesitamos localizarte. Entonces, si todavía tal vez eres un cliente un poco más antiguo y no te dimos un folder, puedes conseguir cualquier folder. El chiste es que estos documentos estén ordenados con un cuidados, no en una bolsa, no debajo del colchón, porque serán muy importantes en el caso de ser necesarios.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. So, passports, birth certificates, are the most important things to have. But if you also have a title to your car or your truck, those are really important things to have. Your marriage certificates, like if you are the step parent of one of your kids, like let's say that you are a US citizen and your spouse is undocumented and it's his kids. And you're the step parent, and maybe you're not even legally married. You need to get a power of attorney so that you, as the stepmom, are going to be able to help take care of these kids and have some legal basis for this. If you're not married already, it may be a good idea to get married because that helps create a legal bond and it helps create legal protections for you so that you have access to your husband's stuff. Sometimes I encourage people to get divorced. Sometimes I encourage people to get married. Talk to me one way or the other if you want before you actually make that decision. But passports, birth certificates, and marriage certificates are probably the most important things to have handy. And then a list of any bank accounts or any other assets that you have are also really, really helpful.
Así es, y bueno, los más importantes o los primeros en la lista son los pasaportes y los certificados de nacimiento. Eso está hasta arriba de la lista. También es muy importante tener tu certificado de matrimonio, sobre todo si una de las partes no tiene documentos y hay hijos de por medio. Este certificado de nacimiento nos dará la habilidad legal de proteger a nuestros hijastros o hijastras. Entonces, no solo nos da esta relación legal, también nos da esta protección legal. Si tú necesitaras accesar a las cuentas de banco, a la camioneta, a la casa, todo esto está dentro de un contrato legal. Obviamente también documentos de autos, de un negocio, si tienes número ITIN, todos estos documentos son súper importantes y pues obviamente hay veces en que le recomendamos a la gente que se divorcie, pero en este caso en específico le recomendamos a la gente que se case, que establezca este vínculo legal, porque en el futuro nos ayudará a proteger y de nuevo, si no se necesita, qué mejor, pero si se necesita, ya estamos protegidos por esta unión legal.
Okay, perfect. All right. So let me get back in here. And maybe if I go full up on the full screen, we'll mostly be back. Okay. So details that you want to have for every family member. And Eduardo, I see your question. I'm going to get to it right after this. Okay. So thank you for your question. The details you want to have for every family member, and you can handwrite this out. It doesn't need to be anything fancy. Okay. The good things to have would be the emergency phone number for every person. You're going to want to have, if they have any medical conditions, you're going to want to write down who is their doctor and, any medications that they're taking, any allergies they might have. And if you have any health insurance for the kids, especially who their insurance provider is and who their policy number is. What we want to think through is like, if I were to not be here tomorrow, and not be able to help take care of my kids, what are all the things that are going to be necessary to be able to help them? And these are, of course, going to be things, especially if anybody in your family has a medical condition. And honestly, even if you have a medical condition, I have had clients who were deported to Mexico and they had HIV. And if they didn't continue their HIV medication, then that could cause them a lot of problems. So it was helpful for me to be able to figure out where my client was getting deported to so that I could then point him in the right direction of where we are able to get them medical care for. Okay, I see some comments coming in.
Así es,
Doctor.
y bueno, obviamente como lo vemos en la pantalla, tenemos qué información es importante sobre cada familiar. Los datos que queremos incluir son los contactos de emergencia, a quién se puede llamar y también a quién no. También tenemos la información de contacto del pediatra o el médico familiar. También queremos saber si tienen alergias, si toman algún medicamento y obviamente qué compañía de seguro médico tenemos y el número de la póliza y también de las personas sin documento. ¿Qué enfermedades tienen? ¿Qué medicamentos toman? Hay que pensar en esto como si yo no estuviera el día de mañana. ¿Qué información necesitaría saber alguien más para cuidar bien de mis hijos? E incluso si estoy detenido, ¿cómo podemos ayudarte? Hemos tenido clientes que desafortunadamente fueron deportados a su país de origen y tenían VIH y era importante notar que si ellos no recibían ese medicamento podían estar en riesgo y eso pudo haber cambiado su caso. Entonces, muy importante la información médica y los datos de contacto de emergencia.
Yes, perfect. And Zaira has a question, and I've answered that in the comments. Eduardo has a question. He says, how likely is it that Trump will change the laws that are recently approved for to qualify for visa U, visa T, etc.? How soon will be recommended to submit each case? Is there a deadline to prevent complications moving forward? I kind of want to take each of these questions one at a time. So, how likely would it be that Trump is going to change the law recently approved to qualify? I don't quite understand that part. Do you understand that, Sarah?
I guess it means that if the law can change for people who have been recently approved,
Okay.
like taken
Okay.
away.
So there's a principle called retroactivity in the law, and I just keep going back to that because it really helps protect you. When you have already been approved for something, the law doesn't come back in and take it away. That there's that principle in our legal system, and I think that that's really important for people to keep in mind, especially when we think about, look, I've already had my case approved. What's going to happen to me? Similarly, like Trump is talking about not allowing kids who were born in the US to undocumented parents to be natural to be US citizens. We can't go back in time and take away someone's citizenship. You have to, it's just not possible. So I don't think that that's really something to worry about at all. Like not even 1% something that I would be worried about. And then I would do your very best of your ability, get cases submitted probably within the next 9 months, if at all possible. The reason for that is just it when the government is such a when the government is such a big machine, it takes time for the wheels to get turning. And right now, the government is not, I mean, if anything that's going to be fast, it's going to be apprehending people who already have final orders of removal and they have not been deported yet. Those are people that everyone has said are the highest priority. And frankly, they're the people who do face the greatest risk even today. It's not like they're not at risk today. They're just going to be at heightened risk come January 20th. I'll let you
Okay,
translate, Sarah. Thank you.
gracias. Hay algo en la ley que se llama la retroactividad y esto nos dice que algo que fue hecho o aprobado o dado en el pasado no puede simplemente ir a quitarse. Y eso es lo que estaríamos viendo con los casos recientemente aprobados de visa U o de visa T. Si ya han sido aprobados, aunque Trump quisiera, no puede ir contra la retroactividad, no puede ejercerla e ir al pasado a quitar esas aprobaciones. Entonces, si estamos aprobados, estamos en un muy buen lugar respecto a qué tan pronto debemos someter los casos. La abogada calcula que podría ser tan pronto como 9 meses, en los siguientes 9 meses, ya que hay que recordar que las leyes de migración y el sistema de migración en general es una gran máquina que no se mueve tan rápido. Sin embargo, obviamente, los casos que ya están así, ya están en la fila, ya están siendo procesados y eso es algo muy, muy positivo para las personas. En cuanto a las complicaciones en el 2025, pues obviamente estamos Seguros que la gente que tiene casos de visa U o visa T va a estar bien. Los expertos o los profesionales hablan de que las personas que estarán en un riesgo aumentado, por así decirlo, serán las que tienen algún proceso de deportación, quizá tienen una orden, pero ellos ya están en un riesgo antes de que entrara Trump. No tiene nada que ver con Trump. Siempre que hay una orden de deportación o un caso en la corte, es muy importante trabajarlo. Entonces, para todas las personas que no están en ese caso, el riesgo sigue siendo muy bajo y pues obviamente es importante revisar tu caso hoy, contratar un abogado hoy que hay tiempo.
Yeah, and some of these strategies that we're recommending here are really only going to be helpful to a certain degree. And that's the hard part. You can't really give custody of your children to someone who you don't want to have custody right now. So it's very difficult to create custody for a child and say, this is the custody agreement I want for my kids in the future, should these things happen. That's not really how our court system works. So there is definitely a divide between really what happens normally, which is usually families are able to stay together. And unless a family member dies or there's a divorce, the family keeps custody of the children. But in a situation like this, a lot of times the state will get involved. The children, if they're not kept together, will get put into foster care, possibly with lots of different foster families. And then they all have these separate custody hearings, and it can get really messy. These are just strategies to try to keep your family together during those early hours of trying to designate one person as the main point of contact who can keep the kids.
Así es, y muchas de estas estrategias son simplemente preventivas. Lo que está en papel y lo que pasa en la realidad puede llegar a ser muy diferente en los mejores casos, a menos que alguien se muera o haya un divorcio. La realidad es que las familias pueden quedarse juntas. Hay quien se haga cargo de los hijos. Pero bueno, estas situaciones pueden pasar. Puede ser un caso en el que los dos padres son deportados y luego los hijos son puestos en casas hogares, se involucra el Estado. Entonces, hay muchas cosas que pueden suceder. Estas son, de nuevo, solamente recomendaciones, estrategias preventivas. Obviamente, siempre vamos a luchar porque no tengas que pasar por esta situación. Simplemente estés una opción para darle el poder a alguien de tomar decisiones inmediatas en el inmediato en el que tú has sido detenido para poder cuidar de tus hijos.
See, thank you so much, Sarah. So included in your kit, I recommend having a child care plan. Fortunately, like I have four kids. Fortunately, none of my kids have any allergies, but they have a very busy schedule. And when we think about our kids and how important it is for them to stay on their routine, when at all possible, keeping your kids in their regular routine, going to school, if they have after school activities, keeping them doing those things, especially if it's medical related, is really important. So, what would a person, if they are going to take over taking care of your child temporarily, what would they need to know? Let's write those things down and keep them with your kit, so that if this becomes an issue, you have this as kind of your plan is already written out.
Así es, y bueno, en este kit que debes de tener, queremos incluir un plan de cuidado infantil. Obviamente la recomendación es que tus hijos se queden en su rutina lo más posible. La abogada tiene cuatro hijos, ninguno de ellos tiene una alergia, pero todos tienen muchas actividades. Entonces, lo ideal sería, además de estos contactos de emergencia, este esquema de qué es lo que hacen todos los días para saber cómo mantenerlos en este proceso, cómo mantenerlos tranquilos, ocupados, y obviamente queremos redactar quiénes son las personas mejores que los pudieran cuidar en una situación así.
Perfect. So these are the things that we'll want to have there. And then I think it's also important, Sarah, you included this tip over here. It's important to say who you don't want to be with your kids so that if someone, for example, you know, we have a lot of families who, a lot of us have some dysfunction in our family. And if you don't want your abusive ex, who's not the kid's father, to be taking care of these kids, it's important to write those things down. None of these are a guarantee, but it's a very helpful starting point should something happen to you.
Así es, e incluimos un pequeño tip sobre también especificar quiénes no están autorizados para hacerse cargo de tus hijos. Puede ser quizá si tu ex es una persona abusiva y no es el padre o la madre de los hijos. Obviamente no sabemos cómo se va a desarrollar todo, pero es un punto de partida muy importante el decir y expresar quiénes no están autorizados para estar a cargo de tus hijos.
My friend, I'm so glad you joined me today. If you have a friend or family member who may need some immigration law guidance or even just day-to-day encouragement, please send them a text or email or a DM on social media and say, "Hey, I think this podcast is going to help you." I sure wish someone had given me the tips I'm sharing here years and years ago when I was starting out as an immigration lawyer. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Adios.